Chapter 15. Relief in Place. This chapter discusses the general considerations of conducting a relief in place. It then discusses the organization of forces, control measures, planning and preparation associated with a relief in place. Lastly, this chapter discusses the execution of a relief in place. General considerations of a relief in place. Units conduct a relief in place as part of a larger operation primarily to maintain the combat effectiveness of committed force. The higher echelon headquarters directs when and where to conduct the relief and establishes the appropriate control measures. A relief may serve to free the relieved unit for other tasks such as decontamination, reconstitution, routine rest, resupply, maintenance, specialized training, resuming offensive operations, or as part of a deception operation. For example, the enemy's reaction to friendly forces conducting a relief may cause it to move reserves from an area where the friendly commander wants to conduct a penetration. A relief in place is an operation in which, by direction of higher authority, all or part of a unit is replaced in an area by the incoming unit, and the responsibilities of the replaced elements for the mission and the assigned zone of operations are transferred to the incoming unit, JP3-07.3. In this operation, the responsibilities of the replaced elements for the mission and the assigned area transfer to the incoming unit. The three variations of a relief are sequential, simultaneous, or staggered. A sequential relief in place occurs when each element in the relieved unit is relieved in succession from right to left to right, front to rear, or rear to front. A simultaneous relief in place occurs when all elements are relieved at the same time. A staggered relief in place occurs when each element is relieved in a sequence determined by the tactical situation, not its geographical orientation. Simultaneous relief takes the least time to execute but is more easily detected by enemy forces. Sequential or staggered reliefs can occur over a significant amount of time. These three relief techniques can occur regardless of the type of operation in which the unit is participating. A relief in place is characterized as either deliberate or hasty, depending on the amount of planning and preparations associated with the relief in place. The major differences are the depth and detail of planning and potentially the execution time. Detailed planning generally facilitates shorter execution time by determining exactly what units need to do and the resources needed to accomplish the mission. Deliberate planning allows commanders and staffs to identify, develop, and coordinate solutions to potential problems before they occur and to ensure the availability of resources when and where needed. Organization of forces for a relief in place. When possible, both units involved in a relief in place should be of similar type, such as armor company or light infantry battalion, and task organized to help maintain operations security. If not, the incoming commander decides on which positions to man, which to not man, and where to establish new positions. The incoming unit assumes the same task organization as the outgoing unit, but adjusts it based on its modified tables of organization and equipment. It assigns responsibilities and deploys in a configuration similar to the outgoing unit. The incoming unit establishes advance parties to conduct detailed coordination and preparations for the operation down to the company level and possibly to the platoon level. These advance parties infiltrate forward to avoid detection. They normally include the echelon's tactical command post, which co-locates with the main command post of the outgoing unit. Commanders may also attach liaison personnel to subordinate units to ensure a smooth transition between units. Control measures for a relief in place. Control measures associated with a relief in place are generally restrictive to prevent fratricide. At a minimum, these measures include the assigned area with its associated boundaries and current positions. Other graphics to help with the coordination of the relief in place include point control measures such as coordination points, contact points, start points, and release points. Movement control measures such as routes, passage lanes, and gaps. Assembly areas. Fire support coordination measures such as target reference points and engagement areas, and defensive direct fire control measures such as TRPs and engagement areas. Units may use any additional graphic control measures necessary to prevent fratricide and to control a relief in place. Planning a relief in place. Once ordered to conduct a relief in place, the incoming unit contacts the outgoing unit. If possible, they coordinate to co-locate their command posts to facilitate coordination between the two units. If the outgoing unit's forward elements can defend the assigned area, the incoming unit executes the relief in place from the rear to the front. This facilitates movement and terrain management. In a deliberate relief, units exchange plans and liaison personnel, conduct briefings, perform detailed reconnaissance, and publish orders with detailed instructions. In a hasty relief, commanders abbreviate the planning process and control execution. In both cases, the outgoing unit designates liaison personnel from its combat, functional, and multifunctional support and sustainment elements to remain with the incoming unit until completing the necessary plans. The incoming unit receives current intelligence, operations, and sustainment information from the outgoing unit, as well as from common higher echelon headquarters, adjacent units, and subordinate elements. The complexity of a relief in place requires extensive liaison and reconnaissance, exchanging information about enemy forces and civilian situations, friendly dispositions, terrain analysis, and fire support and obstacle plans. Coupled with reconnaissance, helps relieving units plan and execute the mission. The relief is a vulnerable operation. The units involved concentrate on security while preparing for and executing the operation. The intent of the operation is to complete the relief without discovery by enemy forces. Consequently, units typically plan reliefs for execution during periods of reduced visibility, such as night or fog. Concealing the relief from enemy forces is a primary concern when the unit conducts the relief as part of an economy of force measure to free forces for other operations. Enemy forces should perceive only one unit's command structure in operation, the outgoing unit, until the operation is complete. This requires a detailed knowledge of friendly vulnerabilities. If the enemy should detect the relief and attack during the transition, the outgoing unit commander controls all units in the assigned area unless otherwise specified in the operation order. Generally, as soon as the mutual higher echelon headquarters issues the warning order, the commander of the incoming unit co-locates the tactical command post with the main command post of the outgoing unit. At a minimum, the incoming unit establishes communications and liaison with the outgoing unit. The warning order designates the time of relief, relieving and relieved units, and sequence of events. It specifies the future missions of the outgoing unit, route priorities, any restrictions on advance parties, any extraordinary security measures, and the time and place for issuing the complete order. During a relief in place, commanders and leaders from the incoming unit conduct a reconnaissance of the area they are to assume. The reconnaissance focuses on routes into the area, routes to positions, the positions themselves, the current disposition of the outgoing unit, and any obstacles that could affect troop movement. The two commanders of the units conducting the relief decide on a time or an event that initiates the passage of command. This allows the smooth transition of command from one commander to another. Normally, this occurs when the frontline subordinate commanders have assumed responsibility for their respective assigned areas, and the incoming commander has established sufficient communications to control the operation. Regardless of their parent organization, all units in the assigned area come under the operational control of a single commander if the units come under attack or when a specified event occurs during the relief. The fire support coordinators establish FSCMs and identify artillery and other available fire support units to support the relief. The incoming unit adopts the fire plan of the outgoing unit, and both units support the relief. This maintains fire support if enemy forces detect the relief and try to exploit the situation. Units plan their fires to deceive enemy forces and expedite the relief. Units also ensure that they maintain normal activity patterns. For example, a unit continues to expend the same average number of artillery rounds per day during the relief that it expended before the initiation of the relief. Units do not relieve fire support or functional and multifunctional support and sustainment units at the same time as the maneuver units they support. They relieve those organizations before or after the primary relief operation. The relief plan specifies the method used in relieving artillery units. If terrain allows, incoming artillery units do not occupy previously used firing positions. Instead, incoming firing units establish firing positions near the firing positions of the outgoing unit and carefully integrate their fires with the relieved unit. Occupying firing positions at night or during periods of poor visibility enhances OPSEC. Units in shore air and missile defense units provide area coverage of the incoming forces. Typically, air defense units focus their available assets at critical sites, such as identified choke points, BPs, assembly areas, and command posts. Handover of obstacles is a complex procedure. The incoming unit verifies the obstacle records of the outgoing unit. Initially, the engineer priority is to provide mobility to the incoming unit. It focuses on the routes and lanes leading into the assigned area. Once the relief occurs, priority of the mobility and survivability effort transitions to support the incoming unit's continuing mission. Units may require additional engineer support to assist with survivability tasks to support the incoming force. Force intermingling is inherent in a relief. The consequences of mutual interference between the units and the complexity associated with such areas as traffic control, fire support coordination, obstacle plans, and communications require close coordination among all headquarters involved. Commanders establish early liaison between the incoming and outgoing forces. The relief plan also addresses the relief in place of these computer networks and information systems. The incoming unit is responsible for all sustainment operations. As the support elements of the outgoing unit displace, they leave the incoming unit's supply stocks based on previous coordination. If the units conducting the relief have different modified tables of organization and equipment, units conduct a mission analysis to determine the method the relieving unit will use to meet its responsibilities and the weapon systems it will use. The unit staff must determine any special support requirements the incoming unit will have and address supporting those requirements with the available supporting sustainment organizations. The unit sustainment staff ensures that both commanders are aware of constraints that may affect the incoming unit. The headquarters of the outgoing unit coordinates traffic movement into and out of the assigned area. Preparing for a relief in place. Units conceal the relief from enemy forces for as long as possible. At the first indication that a relief is necessary, which is usually the warning order for the incoming unit, both the outgoing and incoming units review their OPSEC plans and procedures. Units may use military deception measures when conducting a relief in place to maintain secrecy. To maintain security during a relief in place, the incoming unit makes maximum use of the outgoing unit's radio networks and operators. Both units involved in the relief operate on the command frequencies and encryption variables of the combat net radios of the outgoing unit at all levels. The units conducting a relief in place conduct rehearsals to discover any weaknesses in the plan and familiarize all elements of both forces with the plan. Finding time for rehearsals requires commanders and staffs to focus on time management. Reconnaissance elements of the incoming unit precede its movement with a route reconnaissance of the assembly area. They conduct reconnaissance of the routes leading from the assembly areas to the positions of the outgoing unit. The commander of the incoming unit normally conducts a leader's reconnaissance before starting the operation. While the units are conducting the relief in place, their common higher headquarters and other units continue actions to mask the relief and prevent enemy forces from detecting or interfering with the relief. These include using demonstrations, feints, smoke, and indirect fires. Executing a relief in place. Units strive to conceal the relief from enemy forces. For example, during a sequential or staggered relief, the incoming unit may occupy the same positions as the outgoing unit. Alternatively, the incoming unit may establish positions near the outgoing unit. However, occupying different positions makes early discovery by enemy forces more likely. Any increase in activity in forward positions can reveal the relief to enemy forces. Information collection efforts focus on establishing if enemy forces have discovered the relief before its completion. An enemy force usually detects a relief effort from the increased activity from the movement of the incoming and outgoing units by soldiers and equipment moving into and out of positions. Additionally, after any period of combat, Differences in the types and amount of equipment exist between the incoming unit and the outgoing unit, even if they have the same modified tables of organization and equipment. These differences can also reveal the relief to enemy forces. The two units establish guidelines for exchanging compatible equipment and supplies to limit these differences. It may be necessary to exchange certain weapons, supplies, equipment, and occasionally vehicles between units. When major differences in the number of combat systems between the units exist, for example, when a tank-heavy task force relieves a mechanized infantry task force, inoperable equipment or vehicle decoys may assist in hiding the change of units. In a simultaneous relief, the incoming unit begins moving from its current location to assembly areas in the assigned area of the outgoing unit. Once the relief begins, all elements involved execute the relief as quickly as possible. Both units are vulnerable to enemy attack because of the concentration, movement, and intermingling of forces in a simultaneous relief. Any unnecessary delay during execution provides enemy forces additional time to acquire and engage the forces involved. All units in the assigned area start under the operational control of the outgoing unit commander until the time or event established in the operation order when the responsibility and authorities change to the incoming unit commander. Usually, the trigger to change from the outgoing commander to the incoming commander is when the incoming commander has sufficient communications to control the operation and roughly 2/3 of the personnel responsible or security active in the assigned area. As the first incoming element arrives from the assembly area to assume the position, it establishes a screen of the outgoing unit's positions as the tactical situation permits. The remainder of the incoming unit moves forward to positions behind the outgoing unit. The incoming unit may use the outgoing unit's alternate and supplementary defensive positions to take advantage of any previous defensive preparations. At the previously established time or event, passage of command takes place. At that point, the commander of the incoming unit informs all units involved in the relief of the passage of command. The relieved unit continues to defend. The incoming unit's advance parties coordinate procedures for the rearward passage of the outgoing unit. On order, the outgoing unit begins withdrawing through the incoming unit and moves to assembly areas. Crew-served weapons are usually the first elements relieved after exchanging range cards. The incoming unit replaces them on a one-for-one basis to the maximum extent possible to maintain the illusion of routine activity. The outgoing unit's functional and multifunctional support and sustainment assets assist both the outgoing and incoming units during this period. A relief does not normally require artillery units to relieve weapon system for weapon system unless the terrain limits the number of firing positions available. Generally, the outgoing unit's artillery and other fire support assets remain in place until all other outgoing elements displace and are available to reinforce the fires of the incoming unit in case the enemy tries to interfere. If the purpose of the relief is to continue the attack, the artillery of both forces generally remains in place to support the subsequent operation. Multiple routes that allow only one-way traffic can simplify the forward and rearward movement of both units. The incoming unit controls both units' traffic management assets. Commanders use these assets to help control unit and convoy movement on locks throughout their assigned area. A relief in place may involve the relief of an allied or coalition multinational force. Units consider these additional points when such reliefs occur. Dissimilar unit organizations may require special adjustments in assigned areas. Control of fire support may require special liaison. Language difficulties may require an increased use of guides and translators and require more time to execute. Using outgoing unit communications requires special signal arrangements and additional operators. Ammunition and equipment incompatibility may make exchanging assets more difficult.